I'm glad to be here. My quick way of saying who I am is that on one side I was English Quaker, Irish Catholic, on the other side Lithuanian Jewish, on both sides Midwestern socialist, atheist, journalist. So I believe in peace and the United Nations. I think it's more appropriate to turn this sort of here. And the narrow-mindedness of both sets of grandparents was such that I think all of us need to open our minds. How many here think you have a clear theory about how the world goes round? Many. Okay, I'm going to try to urge you to think again. Those who haven't yet got a clear theory, I hope maybe I'll help you find one, sort of. To start off, though, I want to say what day it is. This is 2 days after a woman went to the airport in Maine to go to a meeting of the Green Party in Chicago. She was a very important person because she was against pesticides and she was in the Green Party, and she was stopped at the airport by the same kinds of armed people I saw at the airport the last time I flew after September 11th. They stopped her from getting on the plane. They said she couldn't get on any plane from that airport. When she went home, it turned out they had already called the hotel to cancel her reservation. That comes under what is called the Patriot Act. And I would like to show you the Patriot Act. I don't know if any of you have seen it. It's 165 pages. This was not written since September 11th.
What was her race and nationality?
White, gender, and I don't know her any more about her. This is the Patriot Act. It's 165 pages. It was not written on September 11th. The people on the other side, what Dwight Eisenhower called the military-industrial complex, has already got all the bills written to abolish the Bill of Rights, the UN Charter, and to turn this into a country that would select another person like George Bush the same way he was selected. We are not in that situation. We haven't come together. We haven't got a plan. We aren't clear on how to make broad connections. So I think it is essential that we do a little catching up. I also wanted to say, sort of, I am representing only myself, but I am executive director of Micklejohn Civil Liberties Institute, and I'm in the Berkeley Fellowship of the Unitarian Universalist Social Action Committee and Common Agenda and the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, the National Lawyers Guild, the California Faculty Association, the Committee of Correspondents for Democratic Socialism, the Western Workers' Labor Heritage Festival, the UN Association, the KPFA, and Labor for Peace and Justice. And that means that I don't read all my email, my eyes are bad, I don't answer all my phone calls, but I am trying to listen abroad, the broad scope. In addition to which, I have two grandnephews who are all the things I said I was, Catholic, Quaker, Lithuanian, Jewish. They're also Native American and African American. So I think about many things from many points of view. And as a result of that, I would like to ask you to think about everything that's been said so far is coming after the semicolon. The rights of labor, the issues of prisoners' rights, the question of anti-discrimination even come after the semicolon. In my opinion, all of us, regardless of what else we're doing, we have to do all the things after the semicolon. But before the semicolon, we have to stop the bombing. We have to stop the U.S. use of ground troops. And we are not going to succeed in doing that by doing only what we've done so far. Marching is not enough. Singing is not enough. Making fun of them is not enough. We're going to have to think of new additional things, just as we did in the civil rights movement. Who would have dreamed that sitting down at a lunch counter would cause the end of legal apartheid in the United States? We have to find new tactics, new understanding. We have to talk to each other in a new way, and we have to listen to each other in a new way. So one of the things I wanted to make clear is that what the U.S. government is doing today is unconstitutional under the U.S. Constitution and illegal under the U.N. Charter, and the U.N. Charter matters, and somebody was good enough to give you copies of the sections of the U.N. Charter that you read. And I'm urging all of you, if you know how to read, to get over whatever non-U.N. or un-U.N. or anti-U.N. attitudes you have and just read the words of the U.N. Charter. So let me say about what to do before the semicolon. Under the Bill of Rights, which I urge all of you to read, the first 10 amendments to the U.S. Constitution, it doesn't say accept Arabs, or accept East Asians, or accept immigrants, or accept non-documented. It says these rights exist for all. And we need to insist on this at the city council level, in your city, at the county board of supervisors, in Sacramento, and in Washington. And because we can't do all these things effectively, I would suggest one thing you do. If each person did this, it would make a massive difference, because all of you are very effective. Learn the name of the aide to your member of Congress who deals with the war. There may be two, I found out. In Barbara Lee's case, one of her aides deals with the Middle East and one aide deals with Asia. You need to talk to both of those. You should know their name. One is named Lynette, I now learned. And you talk to them frequently and say this and that and this and that, and you call them on the phone. You don't just sign a whole petition to Barbara Lee, because she will never see it. There are too many. You have to individually get to know your Congress members' aides. And the same is true in Sacramento. Each lobbyist in Sacramento knows the name, I assure you. Each member of the Assembly and the Senate in Sacramento has aides who work on certain things. You need to learn their names. Put them on your refrigerator door and call them by name. Get to be their friends. I was just in Eugene, Oregon at a teach-in, and it turned out that somebody in Corvallis had actually convinced the aide to the Congresswoman to be against fast track. It took 2 years. These two people became friends. When he went to Washington, he stayed with the aide. And guess what? After 2 years, the Congresswoman finally came to the conclusion that fast track was a bad idea, not through hundreds of petitions, which they do not read, but by actual personal contact. So the first point is that the Bill of Rights does apply to all of us, and that includes people who are not citizens. And the writ of habeas corpus, which means you have a right to go to a jail and find out what the charges against you are, that does apply. I have 1 minute in which to explain to you the U.S. is not king of the world. The U.S. does not have the answers for Afghanistan and cannot have. The U.N., the U.S. knows perfectly well there is a U.N. The U.S. has gone to the U.N. repeatedly since September 11th. And therefore, what is incumbent upon us is to understand. I was in Durban, South Africa, at the World Conference Against Racism, and I want to really convince all of you. The UN is alive, it is well, it is active. Kofi Annan is not like previous secretary generals. He's determined to have Africa have a leading role, all the countries of Africa, in the UN. Mary Robinson is capable of telling anybody off, including the President of the United States, in a proper manner, of course. And the US is going to the UN. They're not saying that. They're going to the Security Council. So what I would urge each of you to do is to read the sections of the UN Charter that you're given, 33 to 54. You will see that the U.S. is acting outside the UN Charter. You will see that the U.N. is capable of dealing with this and is determined to do so. The war in Vietnam did not just end because of the protests. It ended because of the protests and because the Congress finally said no. And that's what we need to do. We need to convince our Congress members, and Barbara Boxer is possible, Feinstein may not be, but we have to convince them that we are determined that they shall uphold the Bill of Rights, they shall repeal the Patriot Act now, not 4 years from now, that they will obey the UN Charter, go to the Security Council with positions, and listen when the Security Council says, you cannot do that under the law. You should know that the UN Charter began in San Francisco before the war was over, and the UN Charter said exactly what to do in a situation of this kind. It is not unique. The Free French represented the French at the UN conference, not the Vichy government, the same as the difference between the Northern Alliance and the Taliban. So that it is possible, if you will put the UN into your mind, forget what you were told during the McCarthy period, and a lot of us fell victim to the red baiting and the unreporting of the UN. And consider there is now a UN High Commissioner for Refugees. There is a special rapporteur on extrajudicial forms of punishment, which includes the death penalty. There's a special rapporteur on contemporary forms of racism. There will be a conference again in 5 years against racism, as there just was in Durban, which the U.S. walked out of, and nobody else walked out of. And 15,000 people made clear over and over before September 11th, the U.S. government is violating the law, the U.S. military is violating the law, and the people will not stand for it. That was clear. How we work together around the world is something that is not so clear and that we have to work on. I would say that we got in Berkeley the City Council to pass a resolution supporting Barbara Lee. That was not automatic, even in Berkeley. It was 5-4, and some nasty words were spoken, and people took in flags, and we had nice orange cards. Enforce the UN Charter now. And we won. You need to do the same in Oakland and in every other city. We need to do the same. Get Keith Carson to present such a resolution to the city, to the Board of Supes. You need to register to vote, register all your friends to vote, and convince them that it is essential that we not only march, but that we vote, that we come to believe in political action, as our forefathers did who poured the tea into Boston Harbor. If you want to know more, that's on a blue sheet of paper, and also we have a website, www.mcli.org. And I wanted to, the men don't need to listen to this, but I would say to the women, if we're actually going to stop the U.S. doing what it is doing, women, in large numbers, in new and creative ways, are going to have to figure out how to do it. And I think we must begin to do it in a determined way, because obviously the military can't solve it, and the men in the movement don't have new, creative, what do you call it, you know, ways of doing it. And that's what we need to do.
Thank you. Our next speaker is